9:45, quarter till 10. Quickly to Dane Cialino, professor of law at Loyola, about the Supreme Court and this coastal damage suit. Good morning, Dane. How are you?
Good morning, Tommy. Just fine.
If you can, please take us a second and give us the underpinnings of this so people understand what we're talking about.
Among
most of them, me being understanding
right.
What we're talking about.
There have been many dozen lawsuits filed by parishes across the state against oil companies alleging that those companies damaged Louisiana coastal areas and marshland by engaging in oil production activities, cutting canals and those sorts of things that have caused the loss of wetlands. Those cases were brought in state court, and the oil companies have attempted to remove the cases out of state court and bring them to federal court because typically a federal venue is going to be more favorable to defendants in these sorts of cases than a state venue. The oil companies have not prevailed in their efforts to remove the cases to federal court because they have to establish that essentially the oil companies were working under the direction of a federal officer in matters relating to federal contracts. The argument that they have so far lost is that the government entered into a number of these contracts to get aviation fuel back in the World War II era and post-World War II era. But the Fifth Circuit, the U.S. Appellate Court in New Orleans, found there wasn't enough nexus between the federal contracts and the damage caused by the oil companies. Now, yesterday, the issue was brought to the United States Supreme Court. It's kind of an odd issue. It's a highly technical federal jurisdiction and procedure question, not some interesting issue like abortion or redistricting that we typically see out of the Supreme Court. And the justices seem pretty skeptical of the efforts by the oil companies to get these cases out of state court. I mean, it still remains to be seen what they'll do. But by all indications from the justices' questioning of the lawyers yesterday, these cases look like they're going to wind up staying in state court.
So to be clear, and correct me if I'm wrong, this what the Supreme Court heard has nothing to do with whether or not the oil companies are liable for coastal damages or refilling canals or this or that or the other thing. This is all about what court it should be heard in, or am I making that up?
That's exactly right. It's a highly technical issue under the federal officer removal statute.
So what does it mean for either side? From what you just said, I would guess that the plaintiffs want this to be heard in state court. And what about this Plaquemines deal with the case that's already been decided? What would that do with that verdict? Would that nullify that?
That was a $700+ million verdict that the parish got against these oil companies. The oil companies had attempted to remove it, but were thwarted in that effort. If the Supreme Court says that removal should have occurred and the federal courts did have jurisdiction, then that would imperil that $700 million verdict, and also cause all of the remaining suits pending in state courts across the state to be transferred to federal court.
And I don't want to hurt myself here, but would it render it moot? Because it seems as though if the state court had no right to hear it, then how can you have a verdict?
Exactly. And then the matter would go back to square one in federal court.
How would you proceed from this point if the technical issue aside with, I mean, were there contracts originally? I don't know how closely you followed the Plaquemines Parish case or not, but determine who's responsible for water. Was Louisiana willing to sell its soil? What made me think of this, Dane, was I looked at the timeline of the oil and gas suits. Did all of a sudden after the oil stopped flowing, or the easy oil or whatever it was, or the oil bust, did suddenly then municipalities say, oh, wait a minute, you damaged us, you this or that? And if the oil industry were still as flowing, pardon the pun, as it were then in its heyday, would even any of this even have come to court? And I'm just wondering about how do you go about determining who's responsible for what? There would have had to have been a contract at some point or what? Because you can't just decide you do this and I do that after it's over, right?
Yeah, there clearly were contracts between the federal government and many of these oil companies to produce aviation fuel. And
this was during World War II?
During World War II.
Okay.
And that is the hook that they're trying to use to say that these oil production and exploration activities that caused the damage to the marsh were done under the direction of the federal government. If they prevail on that argument, then yeah, the matters will be transferred to federal court. But so far, they have not had that luck.
Does this have anything to do with Mr. Goad? Oh, wait, then let me clear this up. In terms of, has the government ever been found liable for Mr. Goad? I'm trying to remember here. Not as far as oil exploration, but just in terms of damages.
Yeah, I mean, if you're talking about those post-Katrina lawsuits brought against the Corps of Engineers, no, those were not successful.
Okay, so would that in any way serve as a precedent for this? If you go back and buy the air for or the air fuel theory, then that the government can't make a mistake, but that once the government decides something, they can't be held responsible for whatever happens after that?
Yeah, on the narrow procedural issue and jurisdictional issue that's before the Supreme Court now, no, it wouldn't have affected those lawsuits because those lawsuits against the Corps were brought in federal court, not in state court.
Okay. So let me go back here. So it was brought in federal court, not state court. I see. That's what you said with the Corps?
Yep. And this argument, the whole issue before the U.S. Supreme Court now really – As I've said, is really just a jurisdictional and procedural issue.
But if it
doesn't go to the core of who's liable for what.
But if it gets kicked to federal court, could that Mr. Goad thing serve as a precedent for this or any indication of this?
I don't think so. Again, on this issue, it's just about which court the matter should be heard in, and those Mr. Goad matters were all heard in federal court.
And if it gets kicked to federal court, it's certainly not good news for the plaintiffs, correct?
In these cases, no. They are fighting tooth and nail to stay out of federal court, stay in state court.
Thank you, Dane. Anything I misstated or
nope.
You want to fix up? Okay.
Nope.
Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
Thank you, Tommy.
You bet. Dane Celino, professor of law at Loyola. Quick break. Find out what Newell's got coming up when we return on WWL.